Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome to today's Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. I'm Bishop Hutchinson. I'm blessed and privileged to have this opportunity to come and speak life to you today. Today we're going to be talking about a subject of free indeed. We're going to be talking about the fact of how we can find freedom in Christ, that is by believing on his testimony, believing who he is, and believing who you are in him. And it's going to be something that I think will be very liberating for many people in our listening audience today, because I find that there are many things from our past that continue to keep us tied to our past instead of to the present. And certainly, if we can't get past our past, we can't step into our future. So I pray that today that you will understand what we're going to be talking about when it says, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. So let's take a time to get a little word of prayer in, and then we'll get back into some of the context of our lesson. But before we do that, let me give you the foundational text. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from the book of John, chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse number 36. This is going to serve as a foundational text for this week's lesson about free indeed. Verse 36 of John 8 says, so if the Son sets you free, ye are free indeed. Let us pray. Father, we give you praise and give you honor. We give you glory today. We ascribe worth to you, for you alone are worthy of all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you for your dominion, your power, and your majesty. We thank you for being Lord. We thank you for being Lord over our lives, for being Lord over all things. And today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, may each person under the sound and hear my voice. May we submit ourselves to your Lordship. May we submit ourselves to follow you in obedience. And may your Holy Spirit be upon us to empower us for life, success, and victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome, students, again. I welcome you to our Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. But once I want to say with me, free indeed. And I give you the foundational text that we're going to be looking at for today's message from John chapter 8, verse 36. And we're going to be reading through this particular chapter, talking about what it means to be free in Christ, what freedom really means, what it looks like. And not only do I want this to be something that will touch our intellectual understanding, but I want it to penetrate into a liberation movement within yourself. If you haven't already experienced this free indeed or being free in reality, I pray that today that you will understand it in a greater sense and that you will experience this freedom in your life, in your ministry, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your finances, in all aspects of your life. Certainly, if the Son has set us free, then we should be free indeed. So let's talk a little bit about one of the conjunctions of that particular statement, where it begins in verse 36 by saying if. And if is a conjunction. That means it connects a thought to a following thought. So when we start off with John chapter 8, verse 36, is a continuation of a thought or a conversation that Jesus was having with people. And we're going to study that in context today, but let's understand how the word if is used in this week's lesson and what we want you to understand what follows after this if statement. Anytime you hear the word if, that means it's based or it's conditioned upon whatever preceded the word. And whatever follows the word is what you will receive or what will happen. So if is used to talk about the result or effect of something that may happen or that may be true. And in this case, The scripture says, if the Son has set us free, then we will be free indeed. So let's understand what it is that we should receive. What should be the result? What should be the effect after we understand what preceded it? And we're going to talk about what precedes the word if in just a moment. But so, just briefly, since we understand that it's a conjunction that is following after something else, what are we to receive, or what should be the result or effect of what's about to be spoken to us? Well, here's what freedom means. To be free means to be released from captivity, bondage, confinement, or slavery. It also can mean not under the control or the power of another, being able to act or do as one wishes. This is what we're going to receive or be the result or effect of believing what preceded that if statement. And so let's talk about what preceded the if statement. If we start in John chapter 8, we're going to begin at verse 1, and we're going to see the three things that preceded the if statement. And what's going to be relevant for us, that if we can accept and believe the conditions that preceded the if, that means that we can receive the result or the effect of the if statement. So we know that the result should be free indeed, or free in reality, or experiencing true freedom. So let's talk about what Jesus was saying in this chapter about the type of freedom that he wants each and every one of those who place their faith and hope in him to experience. Now, the first thing, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. The first thing we must believe is the testimony of Jesus. This is condition number one that the if is based on. The second condition is that we must believe who Jesus is. We believe his testimony about himself, and then secondly, we believe who Jesus is. And thirdly, we must believe who we are in Christ. If we meet those three conditions, that is, believing the testimony that Jesus had of himself, if we believe who Jesus is, and we believe who we are in him, then the if statement comes into play. So if you have believed these three things, then the Son has set you free, and you shall be free in reality. Free from what? Well, we're going to talk about that as well. Free from the bondage of sin and all the effects that sin brings into our lives. And the scripture in John begins with an example of a woman who, by any stretch of imagination, can be seen as a woman who was bound. She was in a tough situation. She had been accused of committing sin, and those who had arranged it or had found her in the situation had brought her to Jesus to see what type of punishment or penalty he would inflict upon her life because of the obvious sin, at least in their eyes, that they found her in. Now, this may be relevant not so much in the same situations that we find ourselves in, but it's more than likely relevant to each and every person who's listening to my voice right now, because like this woman, we have also sinned in some way, shape, or fashion. Even as First John says, if a man says that he has no sins, he is a liar, and he makes God out to be a liar, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But this is why the good news of what John 8:36 is, that if the Son sets you free from the penalty result of sin, let's look at this example of this woman that we sometimes refer to that was caught in the act of adultery. Now, it is noted that by scholars that was contained here in verses 1 through 11 of John 8 may not be found in some of the manuscripts, but we see that this story is a very important story to be spoken about, how Jesus sets us free from the penalty, from the bondage first, and then from the penalty that sin brought about in our lives. Verse number 1 says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. He sat down to teach them. the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in the act of adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" Verse 6 says, they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Verse 8 says, again, he stooped down and began to write on the ground. At this, when they heard, they began to go away one at a time. The oldest one first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Verse 10, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Where are the accusers? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Some translation says, "Go, but sin no more." In other words, Jesus says, now that the Son has set you free, you must be free indeed. That is, by no longer continuing to live the past life that brought about this accusation. You must now take the responsibility of not only being free from their accusations, free from being stoned, but in order for you to be free indeed, you must be free from the bondage of sin and the sinful actions and the sinful behavior that brought about the accusation. I'm telling you, saints of God, sometimes people rejoice because they're free from being punished because of their sin, but the best freedom you can experience is being free from the thing that causes you to sin in the first place. And that is the power of sin. Someone set me free indeed. Yeah, many of you listening to my voice today have been freed by the grace of God, for he's had mercy upon you. For we are all saved by grace through faith, just like this woman is. It's not of ourselves. It was a gift of God. That is the freedom that we experience because of God's grace. But if we're still tempted and tried and being led into the same type of behavior, or we find ourselves in the same situations and circumstances time and a time again, we may be free, but we are certainly not free indeed. And this is what Jesus brought to this woman's attention, and this is the type of freedom that Christ wants each and every one of us to experience. Yes, if it wasn't for the goodness of the God, we would have been consumed a long time ago by some of the things that we've done, the sin that we have allowed into our lives, but the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody said free indeed. The good news that Jesus gave this woman was in verse number 11 when he says, "Then neither do I condemn you." At that statement, Jesus was saying, the Son has set you free. But she wasn't free indeed. She wasn't free in reality until he completed this statement, when he says, "Go now and leave your life of sin." That means that now you are free indeed if you do this. So, saints, when we see where the conditions come into this woman's life, and each and every one of us, there are certain conditions that are attached to our freedom, which was the favor of God that sets us free, even though we deserve punishment. According as these Jews and Pharisees said, according to the law of Moses, she received punishment. Jesus did not disagree. He did not dispute that fact. But what he wanted them to realize that if there was a person there who was any less deserving than her of punishment for their sins, if there was any person here or present with her that was guiltless, that was faultless, that was without sin themselves, then Jesus gave them permission to cast the first stone. So obviously, even though these people may have been freed because they had been spared by God from the same punishment that they were trying to inflict upon this woman, but they were not free indeed because they had not yet turned away or confessed those things out to God. Children of God, listen to me today. And maybe some of you who are listening to my voice who still may be feeling the guilt and the shame and the bondage of sin, you don't necessarily have to go and tell everybody around you about your sin. But there is one person that you must acknowledge your sin before, and that is God. This woman had no defense to what the people had accused her of doing. She only had to rely on the grace and the mercy of God, and this is true for each and every one of us. None of us are saved by our own goodness. None of us are saved because we are morally right and righteous. As the scripture says, that there is none righteous, no, not one. But then comes along the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the same one that's speaking with this woman that was caught in this act of adultery, and he rendered freedom for her. The same Jesus, he wants to render freedom for you from whatever that situation is. It may not be adultery for you. It may be drugs. It may be poverty. It may be lack. It may be relationship stress. It may be strain between your relationships with your family members or stress on your job. For some of you, it may be wrestling with different types of sins, including the sin act of adultery, lying, stealing, pride, malice, jealousy, envy, unforgiveness. All those things are things that bind us up. These are things that keep us in captivity. These are things that confine us in slavery as if someone else is controlling our lives. The freedom that Jesus is offering to each and every one of us today was experienced by this woman in this particular text. Now let's talk about three ways that each and every one of us can receive this freedom from whatever the situation may be in your life. There are three things that Jesus continued to speak to this group of people as they could not fully understand how and why he would not condemn this woman. And one of the reasons why Jesus didn't condemn him because there was no one else there that could. But Jesus could have. Jesus was free from sin. But he says, I declare to you that I do not condemn you. I set you free. This is the same thing Jesus wants to offer each and every one of you today. Listen to my voice. No matter what you've done or what you're doing, no matter how bad you think you are, people say you are, Jesus wants to extend the same type of forgiveness to you, the forgiveness that will set you free. He wants to bring about the same result or effect of something in your life if you can believe these three things. The first thing, Jesus went on to explain to the group that was gathered with him and that the Holy Spirit wants us to understand today is that, number one, first we have to believe Jesus' testimony of who he is. We see in verse number 12, as Jesus, after this situation had been resolved, Jesus continued to speak to the people. Verse 12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Verse 13, the Pharisees challenged him. They still would not believe these things. They still would not received the freedom which Jesus had just offered the woman. They were still holding on to their old ways of thinking and acting. So it says the Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness, they said. Your testimony is not valid. We do not believe what you just said. We do not believe that you are the light of the world. We do not believe that whoever follows you will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We do not believe this. So now we see why they could not be set free. Jesus in verse 14 says, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I come from and I know where I'm going, but you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. And this is why, thanks to God, when we're ministering to people or for those who want to be ministered to, I find that many in this generation are looking to someone that will show them the right standard. But you know, if you go to 10 different people, each person will have a different standard for how they see you or how they see your situation. But I want you to know and listen to what Jesus was saying here in verse number 15. He says to these Pharisees, "You judge by human standards." He says, "I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge," verse 16, "my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me." In other words, I'm not judging anything by my own standard. I'm judging it by the standard that the Father has given me. Verse 17, he says, "In your own law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself, and my other witness is the Father who sent me." The question that Jesus was trying to get them to believe was that, do you believe my testimony? Do you believe my testimony about myself to be true? That's the question, that first question that you must answer in the affirmative in order for you not only just to be free, because if you're listening to this message today, you've already experienced the grace of God. You've already been free from the penalty that your sin deserves because of grace. But if that same situation or power or pressure is still upon you, putting you back into that same situation of captivity or bondage or slavery, then you are not free indeed. If you had wrestled with a past drug addiction, but every day you have to struggle and fight against the power that's trying to pull you back into it, maybe adultery or fornication or lying and stealing, pride, arrogance, things that you steal, but you're not free indeed. So God wants you to be free from the power that is trying to bring you back into captivity. Somebody say, "Be free indeed." Yeah, see, if, as we look at our foundational text, as we're building the three points that preceded the if, the three conditions that Jesus was saying had to be met and fulfilled in order for you to receive the results that this woman has just experienced. It is that her release from captivity, bondage, confinement, or slavery, release from the penalty and the power of sin. Is there anybody listening today who hunger and thirst for righteousness in such a way? This was the same type of offer that Jesus made to a woman at a well in Samaria who had lived a life of having five husbands and were living with someone who was not her husband. When Jesus offered her the living water, he was basically saying, "Look, I can set you free. I'll set you free by allowing you to know that I'm aware of what your situation is, but you won't be free until you leave that life of sin." Thanks to God today, Jesus wants to give you water today that you would never have to thirst again. You never have to thirst again after those drugs if it's a drug situation. You never have to thirst again after having provision if you're suffering with lack. You never have to thirst again of having healthy relationships, because Jesus will heal and bring the right people into your life. If there's anyone today who is hungering and thirsting for righteousness, today Jesus Christ is saying, if the Son has set you free, and I believe in each and every one of us who are listening today, in some way, God has set you free. But now, he wants you to be free indeed. He wants you to be free in reality. That is, that you're no longer bound to those past situations. Somebody said, "Thank you, Jesus. I'm free indeed." So he goes on in verse number 19. So they ask Jesus again, "Who is your father? Where is your father?" Jesus says, "You do not know me or my father. If you knew me, you would know my father." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put, yet no one sees them because his hour had not come. So we see the first condition. Jesus gave the testimony of who he was. He explained to those ones who were around him why he had the authority to forgive this woman and why he could set her free and declare her free indeed if she left her life of sin. And the reason why Jesus said, his testimony was that I am the light of the world. Whoever believes me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you believe that today, faith of God? If you believe that today, you have met the first condition to be set free indeed. The second thing that Jesus had to settle in the minds of those who were gathered around him, not only was the testimony that he said about himself, that he said he and his Father bear witness to the fact that he is the one who came into the world to set people free. Second one, in verse 21, it says, once more Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sins. So where I go, you cannot come. Unless you believe what I first said to you and come to me, you will not be able to go where I'm going. Verse 22 says, this made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But Jesus answered in verse 23, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. You will not be able to be free. You will not be able to receive the type of release from sin that you have just witnessed me give to this woman that you have accused and desired to stone. The same type of penalty that each and every one of you deserve. The same penalty. So she has received her freedom. Yet still you declare yourselves free, but you are still walking in bondage, still walking in captivity. You're still walking in slavery. And unless you believe what I'm saying to you, you will die in your sins. And then verse 25, they say, who are you, they ask. Just what I've been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I heard from him I will tell you. You see the conditions that Jesus is trying to introduce each and every one of these people who could not even recognize that they were in sin. He's extending the same type of grace to them that he gave the woman so that they could be free and free indeed, yet they refused to believe him. So Jesus says in verse 27 that you do not understand what I was telling you about my Father. So Jesus says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own, but I speak what my Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me, and that he has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And even as he spoke, verse 30 says, many believed on him. As Jesus was saying, that many believed who he said he was, and they were set free. Today, let you be one of the many who believe upon the words of Jesus Christ. And then if you do, thanks, the third condition can be met. You realize who you are in Christ now. You realize now that you don't have to make your claim to being a descendant of an earthly person. You can be the descendant of God. You become sons and daughters of God. So verily, verily, I tell you, Jesus says, anyone who sins is a slave to sin, but a slave does not have a permanent place in the family. He says, once when you did not believe these things, you were without a relationship with God. You were without freedom. But now that you have believed on me, and if I have set you free, you are free indeed. There's a freedom from sin that no earthly thing can keep you bound to. Jesus is offering that freedom to each and every one of us today. Have you, saints of God, have each and every one of you experienced this freedom and being free indeed? Today you can. Believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Believe this testimony of himself and believe that he has declared you free and you shall be free indeed. God bless you, children of God. We're so thankful for this opportunity. We declare your freedom in Christ Jesus, and may the Lord bless in all of his words. Amen.